Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, please. Been a wonderful morning so far as just rehearsing the love of Christ, that Jesus does love us. He loves every child, every person here, and he offers hope to us all. 1 Timothy is such a helpful book. I was thinking that in preparation for this message, that the scripture is so practical. It's just so helpful. So many times people view the scriptures as old and archaic, and they have a hard time understanding it, and it's not something that they can really wrap their mind around on a daily basis. But actually, the scripture is alive, and it's active. It's God's mind for us. It is truth. It is so applicable for every single day of our life. And we're going to talk this week, and Lord willing next, about an issue that really affects, I would say, almost everyone in our congregation. And again, the scriptures are so helpful in helping us understand. We're going to discuss the issue of widows within a community of faith, within the church. If you would look at chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "Honor widows who are widows indeed. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well, so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially those of the house of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So as we begin this study of widows in the local church, again, the whole purpose of 1 Timothy, as he says in chapter 3, is that he's writing so that we may ought to know how we should conduct ourselves in the household of faith. He wants the church to understand the different aspects that are involved in church life, how to address them appropriately. And this is a way for us to understand the relationship between a group of people in our church, the widows, and then as well how widows relate to their own families. And so it's very helpful on two different fronts. And so I want to discuss the idea of widows in relationship to the church. We'll get more detail into that next week. But I want to discuss on this side how widows relate to their own families, and then even a bigger perspective, how we should view our aging parents, because the scripture does speak to it. And so first and foremost, I would say here in verse 3 that the church has a responsibility to the widows. A church has a great responsibility to the widows. Now, a widow can be defined simply as one who has lost her husband. Some actually expand that further and make it more broad in their definition. William Barclay says he describes those who have lost their husbands through death, desertion, divorce, or imprisonment. So there are different perspectives of what actually makes a widow. But what we do know specifically in this scripture in verse 3 is that we are to honor the widows who are in our midst. God cares for the widows. And we will take a journey next week, Lord willing, through the Old Testament and the New Testament and looking at God's heart for them. But I want you to notice in verse 7, I read it a moment ago, but it says, "Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach." Timothy's done this a couple times where he has said, "Prescribe or teach these things." So it is important for a church, for every follower of Christ, to understand God's mind on this issue of caring for an aging population, and specifically, in this context, widows. And so you may ask yourself in the season of life you're in, maybe you're approaching a day when you think your parents are going to need some assistance. They're in the aging process just like you are. And maybe you're asking yourself the question, what responsibility do I have to my parents as they age? If you had parents, you probably have thought about that on some level or another. Maybe if you're younger here, we have, you know, some young elementary kids and high schoolers. You've probably never thought that because in your mind, you can't wait to get away from your parents. And here's this guy up here telling you today, oh, great, they're never going to go away. It's how God designed it. I'm sorry, but that's the case. But as you do go through life, you have to kind of face this situation. Unless your parents die at an early age, or maybe there's some special circumstances where there's abandonment or something like that, most people have to wrestle with this idea of caring for their parents. And I think the clarification here in 1 Timothy is very helpful because sometimes people can come to the wrong conclusion and say, well, the church should take care of my parents. Or my mother who is a widow, or my dad who is a widower. Like, it's the church's responsibility now. And I wouldn't say that a lot of people would be along those lines, but I do think there can be an unhealthy perspective to where we view the church as the mission of the church is just to care for everyone's needs totally. And please know my heart. You've heard me many times, most of you. You understand, I love people and I care for people. But we must understand from a biblical perspective how God designed the family even to function in the later years of a situation where the parents would be aging. So yes, the church is responsible to care for the spiritual and sometimes even the financial needs of a widow. But the scripture makes it very clear as to the children's role in this process as well. So let's look at that and focus in verse 4. It says there, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they, meaning the children and grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. So, when a church has to come to a situation, which we do, and there's a widow in our midst, we have to ask ourselves, according to the scripture, who would qualify for complete assistance in life? Again, we're always going to care for the widows, and we're going to go over that next week as we look at the whole of Scripture. But as far as complete assistance, where we see that like this person truly is alone, she is all alone, and we need to come alongside and make sure that she is completely taken care of, there's a qualification to that, and this is kind of where the line comes when God has said, if there are children or grandchildren involved in the situation, the first responsibility goes to the children and grandchildren. So that may be helpful for some of you who have asked the question, what's my role in my aging mother's situation in her life or my parents? And I would say, it is your responsibility to care for your parents. God puts that responsibility and obligation on young families, on the children and the grandchildren. We see this in the Old and in the New Testament, where God says that families should operate in a way where there is genuine care and love, and when there are those who get into the older years, there is a genuine love and care that is given to those aging parents, or in this situation, a widow. Jesus himself discussed this issue. You could look at it maybe on your own in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. Jesus dealt with this issue in regards to the Pharisees, because see, the Pharisees were kind of trying to excuse their way out of their family responsibilities, and they said because of their tradition, you know, they had kind of made a vow that they were going to give only their money to God, and so they were saying, well, we can't give our money to our parents and take care of our families because we're giving our money for, first and foremost, to our God. And Jesus clarifies and says, you know what, your traditions are wrong. Don't justify your traditions with your responsibility. So Jesus cared about this specific area as well. Notice the word in the verse 4, it says, they must first learn. They must first learn. Children and grandchildren must first learn this particular aspect of the Christian life. Why do I say the Christian life? Well, the rest of the verse says to learn and practice piety in regard to their parents. Paul connects living out the Christian life with this particular issue. Like, it's intrinsic in the Christian life. He says, what is very, very important for every follower of Christ, whether you're a child or a grandchild, you must first learn. So he puts a priority on this, that you are responsible to care for your parents. And he says, and to make some return for the investment that the parents have put in. I actually just took a moment and Googled, how much does it cost to raise a child in 2019? The cost of raising one child is $233,000 from baby to 18. So the Tebows, you know, friends, you got a long way to go. But in our day and age, there's a rough approximate that parents from day one will start investing. And that investing comes with providing housing, food, clothing, care. And through the years, it's just a continual investment. That's what parents are called to do. Well, Paul says then to children and grandchildren, he says, what you must first learn as a follower of Christ, this is part of what it means to practice godliness. You must first learn to care for your aging parents and make some sort of return. It really just is the idea of give back to your parents for all that they have done to you and given to you. And I think it's so important that we understand the connection to your walk with Christ. This is how you first learn to practice piety. So many times we want to know God's will for our life and how we can grow. Paul says, look right here. Take care of your own. Now, I think this should be very, very helpful because we have a number of wonderful examples in our church right now who care for their parents on a regular basis. They may not be inside their home caring for them, but they're completely taken care of in every way. They're safe. They're being cared for physically. Their financial situation is taken care of. And there are great examples. Let me just keep encouraging you. You are on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing, because I realize some of you, it is hard and it's difficult because sometimes there are physical problems that come in with Alzheimer's and all kinds of other physical ailments, and so the years can go on and on and on, and the call on your life in this particular way can get very heavy, and you can be at some points very weary. So hear the words of the scripture this morning. You're actually putting a priority on godliness when you care for your parents. This is what God wants for your life. So don't be tempted to believe the lies of the evil and say, you know what, I'm spending so much time here and I'm missing out on so much over here and I just don't know if I can keep this up and I'm not sure financially if we're going to make it. It's putting a strain on everything. Know that you are in a place, if you're honoring your parents in this way, you are in a place where you are faithfully walking in the way that God wants you to go. He says, first learn this. There is a priority for children to care for their parents. Now, we live in a day, and we should be thankful for it, where there are systems like Social Security, there are places like assisted care facilities and nursing homes, there are retirement planning options today. In America, we have really a wonderful way for us to make sure that these kinds of things are taken care of. There are places in the world where it literally means mom and dad move in and you care for them till the end. And so there's different cultures and applications to this, but the principle is the same. When the scripture says, and God included it in the first 10 commandments, honor your father and mother, this was one of the applications. that honoring would take place in the form of care all the way to the end. And so we must be serious about this. And so if you've been in a place recently where you're asking yourself, hey, man, you're burdened for your mom or your dad, and they're in that aging process and you don't know what to do, hear the words of Scripture. Strive to do all that you can to honor them and to care for them. Now, I realize not every situation is the same. In fact, they're pretty much always unique because of the circumstances that people go through. My dad's 89, and I think I have six other siblings. We've all tried to get, after my mom passed away, we all tried to get my dad to move wherever we were with us. We all wanted him, but he didn't want us in that way. See, he's been in Muncie, Indiana for 45 years or something like that, maybe more. And that's all he knows. And the house that he spent years with my mom in, he doesn't want to leave that house. And he's been in the local church for 40 years as well, and he loves his church family. So when I called a couple years ago and said, Dad, you really need to move with us. You need to come down. We'll take care of you, as my other siblings did as well. And his response was, you know, in a good way, I just don't want to. And it finally hit me as like, you know what? That may not be the way that I care for my father as he ages. Why would I want to rip him out of a situation that he absolutely loves and he's being taken care of? And so every situation is different, but the heart should be in all of us to honor our parents in this way, to make sure, as much as it depends on us, that we care for our parents. And it is a direct relationship to our walk with Christ. See, sometimes we like to have compartments in our walk with Christ. Paul brings all the compartments, and God does ultimately all together. This is just one more application of how we honor God. So much so that if you would turn in verse 8, look there. Paul puts a very strong warning. He says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, sometimes we understand this passage in relationship to men working and caring for their family, but in context, we're talking about widows and aging parents. He says in verse 8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do you see the connection between your walk with Christ and the way that you handle this situation and this particular issue in life? They are directly connected. So much so that Paul puts one of the hardest warnings in Scripture. He says, if you do not care for your own, it is like you have denied the faith. And worse, you are living like an unbeliever. So the Christian community should be examples to the world of what this looks like. There should be such a commitment to honoring God. And when he says, honor your parents, that Christian children and grandchildren take this responsibility seriously and say, you know what? This is part of being a believer in Christ. This is part of following Jesus. I will fulfill my family obligations. It's that serious. And if one doesn't do that, he is actually saying, you know what? My heart has not been changed by the love of Christ so that I can give the love out, no matter what your parents have done to you. Because this is, I don't see conditional statements here. Now, I understand there are special situations where, especially in the day in which we live, with abandonment and all kinds of things, that I'm not trying to pour and heap on guilt that's not appropriate. The Holy Spirit's strong enough, he can take care of all that in your hearts. I don't have to do that. But I do have to stand up here and say what the Bible says. And the Bible says, as in verse 7, prescribe these things, that a true follower of Christ who is in a family with aging parents should have a heart to make sure, whether it's mom and dad, dad or just mom, that they are well cared for. This should be happening in Christian families. And so to answer your question from a biblical perspective, am I responsible to care for my parents? The answer is yes. Yes, you are. Now, I understand, as I mentioned, that can take all different forms. That doesn't mean they move in, and I'm just saying the heart behind this is I will honor God and therefore honor my parents. And I will do all that I can to take care of them. Regardless of our circumstances, we have a responsibility. And so sometimes there is a call to make sacrifices. Real sacrifices. Some may say, you know what, I'm right in the middle of my career and you know I've got all these things happening, good things are happening, and I'm so busy, I just don't have time for that. And the scripture comes along to clarify our priorities, say, actually, you have to have time for that. God will take care of your career. God will provide. But your responsibility is to be faithful. And so we in moments like these, we can really have a tension and struggle in our heart as to what we're supposed to do. And many of you have faced this. You've gone through it very, very well, and you're a great example to our church of what this looks like. And my encouragement to you is keep it up. You're doing the right thing. Be faithful. You may be tired, you may be weary, but don't quit. You know, if you look at one more part of the verse, of verse 4, after it says to make some return to your parents, it says, "For this is acceptable in the sight of God." That's fantastic. God delights when children and grandchildren care for their parents. God delights in it. It says, this is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. You want to serve the Lord on a daily basis? You want to know his will for your life as a child or maybe a grandchild? Love. Love those who have loved you and poured their life into you. God delights when children care for aging parents. And I just want to mention one verse, text of scripture that if this is a point of tension, if this is a point of concern in your heart and you're trying to understand what's best, I think Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8 really helps a person grapple with these things because it says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, esteem others better than yourself. And it talked about the way Jesus came in the form of a servant. And so Jesus actually sets the example of how to live this out. And if you guard your heart from the temptation to be selfish, to esteem your desires above your own, if you guard your heart, you will be able to fulfill what God is asking you to do along these lines. But it's going to be day in, day out. Like, sometimes it's a daily choice. I will love and I will serve. And because sometimes parents get even to a place where they don't even know you anymore, and there's very little connection. And it gets difficult and hard. And some of you have cared for aging parents in that category, and you know the struggle and the hardship. This is part of faithfulness to the Lord. One writer says, the great mark of a Christian, Paul says, to adult Christian children is that they look not just to their own interest in midlife as their careers reach their capstone, but they look towards the interest of others, including aging parents. They count others, like their parents, as more significant than themselves. God makes it really clear for us. Yes, the church is involved, and there should be care on every level from a local church, and we're going to talk more about that next week. But if the situation where a widow or someone else finds himself in a situation in those years, the children should take responsibility first, and then maybe even grandchildren. This is acceptable in the sight of God. This is his design. This is the way he wants it to be. And I told you, Jesus set the example. You know, if you're familiar with the account of Jesus hanging on the cross, in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, imagine the creator of the universe is about to absorb the wrath of his Father for the sins of the entire world. Imagine what he is about to go through, let alone what he's physically already endured on the cross and before that with the beatings and the mockings and everything. Imagine this whole experience. Jesus on the cross, he looks down from the cross and says to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he looked at his disciple and said, "Behold your mother." And the scripture says, and from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus was concerned about being a good son all the way to the end. In the midst of everything he was personally facing, his heart was to honor his mother. When it says in Philippians chapter 2 to follow Jesus' example, I'm pretty sure it's clear. And so I don't know the direct application for your life. I understand every situation is unique. But I can say on the authority of Scripture, this should be your heart. And in summary, your heart should be, I want to walk with Jesus on a daily basis. And part of that is loving my parents all the way to the end. Not only when it's easy, but actually, many times, when it's really, really hard. So where's your heart? Because that's all that matters, not circumstances. And again, the goal's not here to make everyone feel bad for, you know, go home and call your parents. I'm all for that today. But I think the scripture confronts us with our heart attitude. Do we have the heart of a servant as it relates to our parents? It's completely connected to our walk with him. And as we love unconditionally sometimes, because the conditions have been so rough in a family, but as we love unconditionally, we actually show gospel love. We actually show the world, hey, God loved me when I did not deserve it, when I have betrayed him and hurt him. And so, therefore, I will love, and I will care, and I will honor Jesus through the process. Would you bow your heads as we close our time this morning? You may be in the category of your parents are okay right now, and there's some stability there, but you're kind of wondering, okay, what's going to be next? When's it going to happen? And you're asking the question, what's my responsibility? Would you just commit to the Lord that you want to be faithful during this season of life, whenever it comes? That you want to follow Him in this way? You may be at a point of decision. You may be right there where you're like, my wife and I, we got to decide what's happening with mom or dad, or, there's a lot going on in our family, and I'm wrestling in my own heart, my own spirit. I don't know what to do, and I am being tempted to think of myself. And would you just submit to the Word? I don't know what that looks like specifically. God really is just concerned about your heart, and then He'll give you direction from there. And then another group may be in the situation where you're like in the midst of it, and you have been caring and loving, and it's been going on and on and on, and you're tired and you're weary. Can I tell you, my friend, brother and sister in Christ, keep it up. You are teaching us. You're showing us what it looks like to live out the gospel in this particular circumstance. So look to Jesus for strength. God desires our hearts to be that of a servant, willing to do whatever when called for His glory. God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it helps us. It clarifies what You want for our lives. Jesus, thank You for coming to this earth and setting the example of being a servant. The way that You even cared for Your own mother is a beautiful picture of what we should do, Jesus. And so thank You for that. God, I pray that You would help our congregation, our church family, to know what each one of them should do. God, every situation is unique, but You care about the heart. So I pray that we'd be a people who have enjoyed and we love the gospel so much that we want to live it out in our daily lives and our families. Please help us to make the appropriate applications for Your glory. In Your holy and precious name I pray. Amen.